It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
Belger.
I'm a liar and a phony. One of those no-good nicks you keep running away from.
Maz.
I'm a man, Bell. Nobody's perfect.
Belger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hi there, everybody. Welcome into the program. Felger Maserati on a Monday. So we have a little title for it. We like to title things, slogan things. It's a re-entry Monday, meaning everything from the weekend. So we can really get to all four. I have thoughts on all four teams in Boston, and we'll just take your calls on whatever you want. I don't know if we'll do opening thoughts like we would on a Friday. We don't really need to do that. But Nope. But these guys are all getting settled. You could put up Maz's mic for me. How you doing, Maz?
Good, you?
I'm just doing peachy. Thank you so much. We got Big Jim Murray in our update studios. Everyone's fumbling around with chairs and whatnot. Red Sox and their crap-ass start on the table. On the table. We've got the Celtics. Any movement, Murray? Any movement whatsoever?
No.
Okay. Any thoughts on the Bruins as their season ends? We now know the schedule against the Toronto Maple Leafs. That's on the table. A little bit of draft nugget today on the Patriots. We'll give that to you. I'll give you a Robert Kraft thought of the day. We seem to have one a day, so we'll get to that later on in the show. Whatever you want to weigh in on, it's up to you. Billy, you may release the hounds, please, or Kristen back there at 617-779-0985. Let me just get your first thoughts, Maz, on your baseball team. Nice team you got there.
Yeah, I don't own this team. I want nothing to do with this team.
You
this
hate
team's
them already?
Not my property.
You don't like them already?
I'm getting there.
Wow.
So look, the thing that's bugging me more than anything else is the same thing that's bugging everyone else. And by the way, I said this way back when. Okay, I said it during the winter, and I knew I was going to come off as an a-hole at the time, but I did it anyway. When do we get to turn? You know, when do we officially get to end 2018?
According to Alex Cora, never. He doesn't want to turn from 2018. This is part of my beef today. They are, you know, that turn the page every year is a new year. You have to reestablish yourself. They don't believe in that.
No, clearly they don't. Clearly they don't.
I mean, not just how they're playing. They said it on day one, and they say it every day. Every other thing out of their mouth is, well, last year. It's one of the worst approaches I've seen a pro team take in a long time. And it didn't sound right from the start, but, oh, what the hell, they were 0-0. But now that they're 3-8, oh, my God, this last year business, insanely misguided.
Driving me up the wall. And it was driving me up the wall in, like, December, let alone now in April, for crying out loud. And so, my message to the Red Sox is, every year, right around the holidays, in fact, like about a week after Christmas, we have this thing, it's called New Year's Eve. It's the last day of the year, and you close the book, and you move on to the next season, and that's it. Like, and I feel like they're holding on to this thing. And sometimes I feel like this has happened before and they've won championships. It's almost like until the banner goes up, it hasn't actually ended. In this case, I feel like it's worse because I think the personalities involved, and I mean the players.
Yes. Nothing to do with the banner. This is what Alex Cora wants. This is what he's preached since day one. It's about last year. I don't think they're not looking to turn the page. They're not looking to turn the page. I mean, I'll find you the quote. I mean, like every time I open up the paper and look at a quote.
He said it in early spring training.
He said it early, but he says it every single day. I'm just trying to find you the latest one. He says, okay, here it is. This is from today. So he said it yesterday. Turning the page doesn't make sense for us. He flat out says we're not turning the page doesn't make sense for us because we can go to our memory bank. Okay, we did this. We did this. We adjusted this way. We'll go back and make adjustments. So they are fighting turning the page.
Yeah, it's idiotic. And look, on some level, I get what he means. Like, look, there's learning experience in there. We can still value that. That's not the point, though. The point is you start over. You start over. Everything goes back to zero. You're just, and again, it's this collection of players, too, that I think is a problem. Because if you give these guys latitude, and I don't know, maybe it's a generational thing. Maybe it's more a millennial thing. Like, all of a sudden, you win one title, and that's it. It's over. You don't ever have to show up for work again. Like, that really bugs me. That bugs the crap out of me as much as anything. And then, again, I read a comment like the one by Matt, and this one caught me this morning, too, by Matt Barnes. And it's small, and it's subtle, but he says, today was a big win for us. He's talking after yesterday's game now. I'm not going to say it was needed, but it was a win we really wanted to have. Dude, you're 3-8. Every game is a big win for you right now, you donkey. What are you doing? All of a sudden, you're exhaling because you're 3-8? The comment after the game should have been, well, look, it's nice to avoid a sweep, but we got to have a lot more of these if they're going to mean anything. 3-8 out of the gate. And the reality is 2-8, and they won the last one. 2-8. That's how they come home. I told you, I thought they were going to have a losing record on this trip.
Yeah, you said 5-6.
During breaks, I said to you, I could see 4-7. I didn't have the heart to say 4-7 on the air. I didn't have the heart to say it, despite people thinking that I have a lump of coal as my heart. I didn't have the heart to say 4-7. I'd have been optimistic if they said that.
Everything's about last year.
Oh, it's infuriating.
Billy, David Price postgame?
We'll be okay. You know, I think everybody in here understands that. And we just got to take it one game at a time, just like we did last year when we won 108 games and 119 on the season and World Series champions. So we just need to get back home.
Okay.
Deep breaths, everyone.
You're not champion anymore. You're not champions anymore.
Until further notice, we are the world champions.
So you ask him about 3-8, and they say, no, 108 on the way to 119 in the World Series champ. You're not champion anymore. It starts over.
Kiss these rings. That's my D. Still champions until further notice.
I mean, I don't mean to rip on David Price because they're taking their lead to Cora. Every other word out of Cora's mouth is last year, last year, last year, last year, last year. That's all they're doing. I've never seen anything like it. I mean, you could say that Belichick takes it to the extreme in the other direction, but if I'm going to err on one side or the other, Belichick has it right.
Of course he has it right. You have to show up and go to work again.
God.
It doesn't matter what you did the year before. The next season starts. And so look again, it was a great year, a tremendous year. And based on some of the stuff I read over the weekend, it seems to be dawning on them when they say that 2018 was like going to Disney, for crying out loud. It was, everything went perfectly for them. So they show up the next year and just think it's all going to go that way again? I'm telling you, delusion. That's what it is. It's delusion. They started to believe that they were that good, and the reality is nobody's that good.
Real quick, William, can we just do the follow-up question on Price right there, the second half of that cut?
I know it's a few days away, but what type of reaction do you think you guys will get?
Cheers, I hope. You know, I don't think anybody's ever gotten their World Series rings and gotten booed, so I think we'll get cheered.
Yeah, let's see. Has anyone ever gotten the World Series rings and gotten booed?
No, but that'd be funny.
Yeah, it would be, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
They won't get booed tomorrow.
I'll give him credit. He's got his finger on the pulse of the city now.
Oh, you know, he gets it now. Yeah, he's been on the bad side of it. Now he's he's relaxed. He can speak a little more freely. He's got some collateral.
Okay, so re-entry Monday. A lot of Red Sox. How about the Celtics? Any movement, Maz?
Yeah, I thought.
Yeah, movement.
Get the hell out of here,
movement.
You two.
Attaboy.
You suckers.
We have movement. Go ahead.
No, look, I'll believe it. Again, I'll believe it in the first round. And my overall opinion on the team or feeling toward the team has not changed in that I look at them and I say, you still deserve to lose in the first round. You do, because you really half-assed it all year long. And I'm not even convinced that they're out of it now. But I will say that the two games on the road last week, they look like a different team. They just do. They're playing differently. And even last night, and I didn't stick until the very end last night, once it became apparent that, you know, the game was meaningless and the whole game was meaningless from the beginning. But I sort of just checked out about halfway through. But I think they're playing differently. I think offensively, you can see there's more cohesion. They're playing together. They're passing the ball well. The ball's moving, all of that. They look different to me.
You too. Tootsie Pop and Jolly Rancher. Couple of suckers. That's what you are. No movement. I have a no movement clause with the Boston Celtics until the second round. I learned more about the Pacers on Friday night than I did over the Celtics. And the Pacers stink. They stink. And it has nothing to do with the fact that they didn't even give their best effort. Not my words, by the way. Head coach Brad Stevens, who said that after Friday night's game, they didn't get the best effort from Indiana, and that was evident. But even if they had, they're not good enough. The Pacers aren't good enough. And they don't have the talent to compete with them in a seven-game series. So even if the Celtics sweep, no movement. I have to wait until the second round. If they were going up against Brooklyn or even Orlando, who swept them this season, by the way, because they can't stop Nick Vucevic for whatever reason, I'd be able to learn more in that first round. Pacers, no. No movement. None.
So no movement unless they get past the Bucks, is what you're saying, in the second round.
Yeah.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you'll come around to the fact that they could go on a run.
Yes.
After they've actually gone on the run.
Yeah, because it does the Pacers. Even if they sweep the Pacers, it means nothing to me.
Fair enough.
So Murray's right about that. Indiana was bad in that game.
It's consistent.
I still look at it, though, in terms of how the Celtics played. And again, I just saw a different style of team. So they should wipe the floor with Indiana. They shouldn't go to five. They shouldn't go beyond five games. I'll give Indiana one game at home. That's it. The Celtics should win all three here. Indiana should not see a game six in Indiana. That should be the end of that series, and that's that. But They're playing differently.
The door's ajar on that team.
They're playing differently. And so now, will it you know, persist? Will it carry over? I have no idea. Because when they see adversity, this team will implode, I think.
How are they playing differently?
I think offensively that they are not as Kyrie-centric as they were. And in fact, I think the sharing of the ball on the offensive end, to me in particular, the word I would use is Kyrie-centric. They're less Kyrie-centric, really, on both ends. I mean, Stevens pulling him out at the end of that game against Miami, and then running the offense through Hayward, Irving running around screens, getting the ball into Horford more frequently. Like, Jaylen Brown made a pass last night on a pick and roll that I thought, Jaylen Brown, the human vacuum cleaner, made a pass to Horford on a pick and roll, and Horford got fouled, and I thought, where did that come from? Usually he gets a screen, he gets the ball, it's going up or he's going to the hoop. That's it. And so I see much better team basketball.
Reentry Monday, Red Sox, Celtics, Bruins. You trust them going into the postseason? You have trust in that team?
The Bruins?
Yes.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. Still all aboard the beast train, everyone.
I trust their effort. There are certain guys on the team I don't trust.
Collectively, I have a hard time trusting that team. I mean, they should win. They're better. I think they're going to win. But do I trust them? Do I trust them?
They are so due to lose a playoff series to the Maple Leafs. It isn't even funny. I heard that.
They should have lost the first two.
I heard, meaning
the last two.
So I heard that stat that they haven't lost a playoff series to Toronto in 50 years.
Is that true?
I heard that and went, uh-oh.
Oh, stop.
Uh-oh. Stuff like that. I mean, sooner or later, doesn't that one have to go the other way?
No, some things, there is institutionalized failure in the DNA of the Toronto Maple Leafs.
What's in the DNA of the Boston Bruins?
Win a round or two.
Excellent, good answer. Reentry Monday, everything on the board, 617-7. Now you're all lined up as usual. We'll get right to you right after these words.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
B.O.B. Boob.
Oh, my God. Isn't that Bob?
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Ground ball is short. Bogart's on target, and that's the ball game. The Red Sox win it 1-0. So they will come home after winning the finale, staving off the sweep here today. And next stop will be Fenway Park and the ring ceremony on Tuesday. It will be so nice to get back home.
All right, let's mix in the phones. Immediately, Maz has another bitch that we will get to. But Greg and Rivera, lead us off. What do you got, Greg?
I got, I love what Maz is saying. I think he's dead on. They got no fucking marble.
Oh, they're out of their mind. That's just a horrible way to start. You got that, Billy?
Horrendous.
What's your bitch?
Okay, so again, there was a moment last week, and I sort of said it at the time, maybe to myself. There was a cutaway of Brock Holt on the field. I want to say he was in the Oakland series, and I think there was a chick in the stands wearing a bikini, and the Red Sox were getting their asses kicked. And Holt sort of looked like, pointed out to someone, hey, look at the bikini. And it bugged the crap out of me.
Is this true?
Yes.
Can we get confirmation on this,
yes,
please?
I'm telling you.
I saw you tweet about this. I didn't catch it, though. I was watching it at the same time. Maybe I looked away.
So now I got to go find it. Because it feels to me like, you know, oh, we got this thing. It's in the bag. Like and naturally, no one's going to believe me. But if there's someone out there that saw it, I would love to hear from you.
The cutaway with Holt, I remember, is...
He said bikini. That's what he said, bikini. He pointed and said bikini. He said one word, it was bikini. I guarantee it.
Okay, I hope you're not talking about... There was a game where Vasquez was out, Swihart was behind the plate, and he took a foul ball off the groin, I thought, or somewhere, and was all banged up. And Holt was somewhere. He was in the infield. And they cut to him, and he was going like this. No, and laughing, like, I'm not catching. Because he's, I guess, the emergency catcher?
Wasn't that.
Okay, you sure?
Positive. Positive.
Did they show the guy on the stands?
No. They just cut away to him. They were talking about him, and he pointed to the stands talking about some chick that was wearing a bikini.
How do you know that?
Because he said bikini. What else would he be talking about?
How do you know he said bikini?
Because that one I could read. I'm telling you. I'm telling you, I'm going to find it. It bugged the crap out of me. I guarantee
if anyone's going to know someone mouthing bikini, it's Tony
Nazarov. I know,
Nazarov.
That's why, dirty old man.
I'm not going to doubt him there.
I mean, had he said thong? I'm telling you,
okay,
he said
so
it.
That bugged you because you don't think he's focused.
I think they're all a little too like, we got this. And it's not the issue of in the game, he's looking in the crowd, checking out a chick in a bikini. Like, it's not even that. It's the whole sort of vibe around the team.
Well, how about the fact that he's out because he got scratched in the eye by his kid
in the hotel room? So there's that, too. You know, but the whole thing, I don't like the vibe around the team. They're not as good as they think. I feel like I'm talking about the Celtics from the fall, except the difference is the Red Sox won a championship and the Celtics didn't. But it's sort of similar in that Celtics had a magical run last spring on some level with a bunch of guys that nobody expected it from. This team had a magical run through the postseason, and all of a sudden they show up and think it's easy. And that bugs me. There are certain things that bug me more than others. A lot of things bug me, as you know. But the idea that, like, you win a championship and all of a sudden it's get out of jail free for life bugs the crap out of me.
It's not just that. It's that they refuse to turn the page on the season. Like, everything they did last year, they can just do over again. It's just so wrong. Yeah, every day, just pick up the paper any day or look at any story online. I'm sorry, I keep saying paper. I'm a dinosaur. But read any story, and Cora's in there. Again, this is from now Saturday after Friday's game. I'm not going to change, said Cora. I'm going to be the same guy for how great it was last year. I understand what a big league season is. You're going to have ups and downs. We've got to stay calm the same way we did things last year. We're going to do it again. We'll get them in the right spot. No, it's a whole different year. You have to do things differently because the team's different and situations are different. Cora just thinks it's like a one big 300 and whatever, 20 game season. No.
It goes right back to zero.
I've never seen a team fly in the face of that, turn the page thing. It's a new year. We have to prove ourselves all over again. I've never seen a team spit on that worse than this team. Celtics, Paul in New Hampshire. Go, Paul.
Hey, how are you guys? I'd like to touch on all three of these teams.
No, just
you
one.
Guys
go.
Started with the Red Sox.
Just go, please.
I think they need to work on their fundamentals. And like you said, if there was one formula, the same team would win every year. Every year is a different year.
Right.
They need to work on their fundamentals. If it means running back and forth to the monster, back and forth to the monster for 2 hours, running around, whatever they need to do to be put where they belong, it's a new season.
Okay,
that's
so
quick on them.
Right, it would start with the manager. It would start with the manager saying, last year's over, you haven't won a thing. That trophy's for last year. But he's doing just the opposite. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, again, I'm not signing off on that either. I'm telling you, to me, the attitude of the team is what sucks. The call irritated me because it's like, yeah, they need to work. They need to hit the cutoff, man. You'll swing it, pitch it. They know how to play. This isn't an issue of fundamentals. The reason the fundamentals suck right now is because they're not focused and they're not motivated. That's what it is. They're still riding on the coattails of last year. The they know what the fundamentals are. These guys have played baseball their whole lives. The base running, all of that. It's a question of focus and understanding and paying attention and digging in. And they're not doing that because they're still harboring last year.
Green Mountain Luke, any movement?
Yes, Murray, first of all, you need to promise me one thing. At no point will you jump on the C's bandwagon this playoffs, because you're almost always wrong if you think about the Patriots, the Red Sox. So stay.
I
would like an apology for the gentleman sweep that I called for the Red Sox in the World Series.
Okay.
Luke.
Hey
Luke. Let's play this game. You're always wrong. Oh, you're better than that, Luke. You're better than that.
Relax.
Luke, did you have the Celtics in the 4 seed to start the year?
I have been so frustrated and critical.
Did you have them in the 4 seed to start the year? Is that where you predicted they would finish?
Oh,
you're so wrong about the team.
I was wrong. You can criticize me for that. Nobody's been more frustrated or critical of the Celtics this year than me. I've called them all out. Of course I was wrong. I hated this regular season. But I do think they've turned the corner because Hayward is getting back to where he is. And less Kyrie-centric, like Maz said. And a big one Maz hit on, shot selection. Brad Stevens said they've been focusing on this, specifically Tatum and Brown. Those three things are huge. Hayward's getting back. Less Kyrie-centric and shot selection for Brown and Tatum. Those are big things.
Okay, I just think they're in it. I'm not telling – we'll get to the second round when we get to the second round. But if you don't think this team is – I don't know. I don't want to say past tense turn the corner, but is poised, you know, is poised and in position to go on a run. Then I just think you're being willfully ignorant, Murray. I mean,
we've learned so much over the last week and a half here, and these wins over the Pacers and the no show and the Miami Heat, and these who went from a playoff team to being out of it just like that because they're not good. I'm sorry, I'm not buying in. We've seen this too many times this year. I'm not doing it just because they look pretty good right now. And by the way, Gordon Hayward's been playing pretty well because he doesn't have someone breathing down his neck in recent games because they've been out due to injury.
Well, this is a beef Maz has as well. You read something from B-Rob that you didn't like?
Oh, yeah. So Brian Robb, you know, formerly of the Felger Maz show, B-Rob in the Closet, did a thing over the weekend where he went through player by player in the Celtics and sort of scouting their rotation for the postseason. And there were, like, you know, reason he could get squeezed out or lose minutes. And he had Kyrie Irving, you know, bad on the defensive end. So everybody had a negative. Everybody. He got to Gordon Hayward. Minutes go down if it won't. Only physical concerns will sideline him. So all of a sudden now Gordon Hayward's untouchable? Like, I read this one and went, oh my God, is this the point we've reached? Like, he's had some good games, so now we feel like it's over, it's fixed, you know, everything's good with Gordon Hayward, there's no more setbacks. First of all, every time he started to turn a corner this year, there was another injury. Whether he rolled his ankle at the All-Star break or then came back and got a concussion, like, something has happened to this guy all year long. Really, since the day he put on a Celtic uniform. And secondly, we're now just saying that there still aren't vulnerabilities on the defensive end, or he's not quite 100%, but he's getting there. Or now it's all of a sudden, Gordon Hayward's the best player on the team now, and we can't touch him. Like, this is the kind of mentality that worries me. They play a couple of good games on the road against middling teams. Middling teams. Not good teams. Middling teams. And I believe that they're playing better. I do. But let's not go too far with it either.
Okay, because you understand, though, even against middling teams that aren't the Minnesota that he lit up a couple times, I mean, Gordon Hayward was not playing assertively even against middling bad teams.
Correct.
So that is different.
Yes.
You're listening to Felger and Maz.
Doesn't always have to be ha-ha, hee-hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5, the sports of...
Monday. A lot of Celts, a lot of Red Sox today. Bruins, if you want it. Let me ask you again. You trust that team, Maz? You trust the Bruins?
Wholly, yes. Individually, no.
Explain.
The goalie. I don't trust the goalie. I don't. And you know, and there are a few other guys I look at and I worry about in the postseason. Like, I worry about Krug. I worry about Grizzlick in the postseason. Like, you know, to me, there are certain guys I look. But do I think Bergeron and Marchand are going to show up? Marchand's production, you know, who knows? But, like, is he going to be flat? I don't think he'll be flat. So I think that, you know, they're well coached positionally. They're, you know, pretty disciplined. Like, they're good. They're good. Could the goalie undermine the thing? Yes. And I told you, I believe in this sort of like karma kind of thing. 50 years they haven't lost a playoff series to the Leafs. 50.
Yeah, so now you're going to start believing in the Toronto Maple Leafs.
No, what I'm saying is this.
Losers.
Unless my math is wrong, they have not lost a playoff series to the Leaf, my co-host friend, in your lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
In your lifetime, they have not lost. Like, that sooner or later has to go poof, doesn't it?
The last two were, they pulled out of their butts. They shouldn't have won the last two. So, yeah, I mean, I would just go based on that. Never mind 1968, but yeah, so that the teams are even. They've been even. And so, and I don't totally trust the Bruins. I mean, I like them. I've liked the year they've had a lot. And they've played really well, and they should be poised here. They should be poised to get through this first round and give Tampa a real series in that second round. That should be the expectation. But I'm always just a little hesitant with this group, Murray. I am. It's sort of institutional.
And they're not losing this first round. No. The Maple Leafs exist to let those fans down and be miserable up there. They're the Cleveland Browns of the NHL. Now, the Tampa series, and without Kevin Miller, we'll get to that when we get to it. But I feel extremely confident that they will beat the Maple Leafs in the first round.
Okay, a couple little lineup things on that. Kevin Miller's probably going to miss the entire postseason with a broken kneecap, which is a blow. That's an experienced defenseman who's been through the ringer, and you know, so you're putting in a kid there or a John Moore type, so you're taking a hit there. But I'll say on that, better sooner than later, because he's always got an injury just around the corner anyway. So get it out of the way and clear the decks.
Connor Clifton's been okay too, so
they're not going to play him. They're going with Camford to start. That bugs me. That's what I wanted to get to, at least based on the line rushes today. Steve Camford's in there with Grizzlick and not Connor Clifton.
Oh, I hate that.
Which bugs me. Camphor has more experience. He's played in the NHL. He's played AHL playoff games. I'm sorry, he's not even played NHL playoff games.
Yuck.
But Steve Camphor has, you know, he's bounced around a little bit. He was in Minnesota, was with the Rangers, was with the Panthers. Now he's here. So he's never played an NHL playoff game, but he's older and he's more experienced. So it looks like Camphor's going to be on that last pair as opposed to Connor Clifton.
That feels Clodian to me.
Who's a 23-year-old kid who was throwing his weight around, who looked kind of good out there. And again, I don't love that. That kind of bugs me.
Yeah, that would bug me too. I don't love it either. The only thing, I was just looking it up. He's a little bit bigger, right? Camphor's a little bit bigger.
Clifton's a little undersized. He plays big, but he's undersized.
Correct. So maybe they just don't want the Landa Lilliput out there in front of Tuca.
I understand. But again, as people have told me about the Leafs, what are you worried about size with for the Leafs? It's not a size series. It's not a lean on you kind of series. It's a speed series. So I don't know. Is Camphor quicker than Clifton? I don't know if he's anything more than Clifton, other than bigger and more experienced. But what, you know, so I don't love that. Pastrnak's going to be on the first line, start on the first line, and Carson Kuhlman is on the second line. Kuhlman's looked nice little find there, I think. I don't know. I'd rather see Johansson up there. I'd rather see Pastrnak there and Heinen up at the front. I don't love the lineup. I don't love those little lineup tweaks. I don't love them. It shouldn't matter. You're a more complete team than Toronto. You should win that series. You're better on D, and on paper you're better in net, although it hasn't really shown itself with Rask. And that's just my one last follow-up thought. I was listening to Johnson and Flynn yesterday morning, driving around, doing my honey-do errands, or maybe it was Saturday, I don't know. And they said something that I didn't even realize. They said the last four Stanley Cup champions used different goalies on their way to the cup. And I went and looked it up, and it's true. You know, because I've always had the mind that you pick a guy and you ride the guy. Jonathan Quick, Tim Thomas, blah, blah, blah. Like, yeah, I'm not even talking to him. I'm not even going back, 20 years, Patrick Roy. Talk about even recently. That you pick a guy and that's it. That's not really what's happened here. The last couple of years, last year, the Caps started with Grubauer. They started because Holtby had a really shaky regular season. They started with Grubauer. Grubauer got games 1 and 2 of the first round, then sort of crapped himself. Holtby took over in the middle of game 2, and then they rode him the rest of the way. But they did not start with Holtby last year. They started with the backup. The year before, the Penguins, it was Matt Murray and Marc-Andre Fleury, and they sort of... Fleury got 15 starts. Murray got 10. Now, they wanted Murray to be the guy, but he got banged up at the end of the regular season. So they started with Fleury. They won the first two rounds with Fleury, and he was the guy. And then he sort of hiccuped midway through the conference final.
There was a game in the conference final, game three of the conference final. He gave up 4 goals on 9 shots.
Holy mackerel.
They put in Murray, and Murray rode it the rest of the way. But when you look back at the end of the Penguins' run in 2017, Fleury had 15 starts. Murray had 10. The Penguins the year before, you know, they played 3 goalies?
That I didn't know. That's the year Murray came in, right?
Jeff Zatkoff, anyone?
I don't remember that
Jeff
at all.
Jeff Zatkoff, you ever hear of him? Jeff Zatkoff. He played the first 2 games. So again, there were injuries, and I didn't go back and look at all the particulars of all these, you know, whether it was injury or performance or when they came in. But the record shows in that 2015-16 Stanley Cup championship Penguins run, Jeff Zadkoff got 2 starts, Fleury got 1, and Matt Murray got the rest.
You say that really fast, it sounds profane.
Oh, I was going to say, was he in Penguins accounting?
and the year before that, the Hawks, the Blackhawks' last championship, 2014-15, Scott Darling got 4 starts. And Crawford got the rest. And now if you go back later than that, Quick, Thomas, Fleury, you know, then those guys were, those was 1 goalie in the playoffs for the previous 5 years. But the last 4 years, there was sort of some swapping in and out. It's not unheard of. It's just unheard of here. And it's just, it feels like hearsay here for the people that cover the Bruins. Idiot, you know. But everywhere else, if a goalie's struggling or not quite right, even the playoffs, they'll go to Jeff Zadkoff, or they'll go to Mark Murray, or what's Murray's first name, whatever.
Matt
Murray, they'll go to whoever.
Jim.
Until they figure it out, which I think is on the table here for the Boston Bruins this year.
Yeah, I don't.
I mean, they built it this way.
Yeah, and I certainly don't buy, like, Tuukka would have to be absolutely terrible for Cassidy to make that switch.
No.
I don't think so at all.
No, sir. No, sir.
He's already proven that with the regular season, the way he's used them.
Leave the door ajar, and they'll go to the other guy. And I think it's a recent trend. I think it's a recent trend, and good for these teams. You know, hope he's the guy, right? He's the man. He's a stud. But he kind of sucked, so they went with Grubauer. And then Grubauer sort of petered out. I say, okay, now Holtby, here's your chance. But they, you know, either got his, or, you know, they just weren't afraid. Was it Trotz? You know, he wasn't afraid. And Mike Sullivan or whoever they were in Pittsburgh, not afraid. And I think this coach is not afraid.
Well, Sullivan's definitely not afraid in Pittsburgh. Hell, he did it both years, pretty
both
much.
Both years.
And what, that split you're talking about, 15 and 10? I could see that happening here.
Marc-Andre Fleury, massive contract. He's the guy. You're kind of sucking. We're going with the kid. Or even Jeff Zadkoff, if that's what it takes. You're a little banged up. We're going to go. And they weren't afraid. And I think around here, the hockey establishment is a little afraid of benching Tuukka Rask, and I don't think the coach is. Now, I don't want to project. If he plays well, it's his job, it's his team, it's his run. No question about it. But just keep that in mind, and you know that's on the table, I think, with the Bruins. There's your Bees Minute. Mix it in with all your other thoughts right after this.
I just don't know what to say anymore.
Wrong, sorry.
It's Felger and Maz.
They could use a good ass kicking.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
And that'll close out the 82-game regular season. The Lightning victorious over the Bruins here at TD Garden 6-3. The Boston Bruins will end the 82-game season with the third-best record in the National Hockey League at 49-24-9. And they now turn their attention to an opening round matchup against the Toronto Maple Leafs.
All right, Tampa's a question for another day. That's in 2 weeks if you get past the Leafs. But that just that last game of the year, I understand that so many guys were out and it wasn't a normal game. But did it just continue the trend that when Tampa, when Tampa just wants to beat you, they beat you?
Yeah.
So, you know, you go up 2-0 again. The second time you face them in the last 2 games where you had a 2-goal lead, and they just decided, okay, now we're going to take over. And they took over. And it feels like, I don't know, that's a story for 2 weeks from now, if you get past the Leafs. Then we'll talk about the Lightning. But that's a legit group there in Tampa.
So this is what's always worrisome about any playoff series, right? Really, in any sport, is that when the team with more talent wants to elevate, what happens then? Like, how are you going to stop them?
Okay, so that's on the board with everything else. Frank, lead us off on the Bruins here. Go ahead.
Well, look, first off, I mean, I'll get right to it. The Camford decision is an egregious mistake, in my opinion. That kid sucks. I mean, I don't know what Don Sweeney was thinking about even getting him, but whatever. I mean,
so listen, I'm not sure that's official. I'm just telling you, Camphor skated with Grizzlick today. I think Clifton did a little bit too, but it's been presented to me that Camphor was the guy today at practice who was with Grizzlick. So, I mean, let's see what they do Thursday, but I'm with you. I'd go Clifton there.
Absolutely. That kid has shown balls since he's been in the lineup. I would definitely go with him over Camphor, but I mean, losing Miller, I mean, that really sucks. That's tough. That's going to hurt you more, I think, if you make it to the second round. But look, no one should sleep on the Leafs. If you sleep thinking that because their defense sucks, their offense is going to hit you with a Vander Holyfield left hook and knock your ass out, and you're not going to be able to get up. But hopefully, unfortunately, I think this series is going to go 7 games, but hopefully it won't, because I don't want to have to listen to Mike Babcock's press conferences. My God, that guy irritates me so much. I don't wish him any will ill or anything, but a scorching case of herpes would be just perfect.
Okay, strong to quite strong. Strong to quite strong. Toronto's forwards are good. They're good. They're deeper up front than you. They're more explosive up front than you.
So I don't want to pick on Billy Jaffe because I love Billy Jaffe. Okay, he was on Nessa last night evaluating the series, and he got to offense and called it even. And I said, you got to be kidding me.
Well, where do they rank in goal? Maybe he's doing something.
But
like
I don't
that.
Even care. Like, I don't even care what the rankings are. Who's got more offensive talent, Mike?
They have more high-end offensive talent.
I mean, so their upside's higher.
I think it is.
You just look at it.
Up front.
Yes. No, offensive.
Just
right?
Offensive.
Right. Right. So I'm not including defensemen. If you want to say Krug and McAvoy are a big part of the Bruins, I'm talking the forward group.
Well, no, I mean, so if you just want to go pure numbers, they outscored you by, I don't know, they had 286 goals on the year, you had 259. They ranked fourth in goals, you ranked 11th.
Okay.
So they're just, I mean, statistically, they're a better offensive team.
I mean, 29 goals more. And I just go by the names. Marner, Tavares, Matthews, Riley, Kadri, Hyman. What? Like, it spins your head. They have more offensive talent. They do.
Matt, in Boston, do you trust the Celtics in the playoffs?
Hell no. How's that for an answer, Michael? I don't trust them as far as I could throw them across the street.
Why?
They are so maddening to watch. They think they can just flip the switch at any time. Oh, we could just flip the switch. The only team that could do that is the Golden State Warriors. And last time I checked, the Celtics are not.
Okay, well, LeBron did it every year in the East. And you have mini LeBron. You've got little LeBron.
Yeah, in terms of how he acts off the court. In terms of talent, you do not have mini LeBron and Kyrie Irving.
So I think Kyrie, like, dismissing the home court advantage thing to me is irritating, because there aren't many players in the league that can pull that one off.
LeBron is.
Right. So and Durant, probably. Like, Golden State's loaded. They can win on the road. They, I'll allow for that. I'm not sure the Celtics are in that group yet. Let's see it.
We've got Matt in Sudbury on the Red Sox. Go ahead, Matt, here on a reentry Monday. Hi, Matt.
Good afternoon, guys. Hey, I agree with you, Matt, totally. They're playing like the calendar still says 2018. I think Cora needs to get on the phone with his counterpart down in Foxborough and figure out what Bill does to get his players to buy in to, turn the page completely, because it's just ugly, lackadaisical, lazy baseball. And that's one thing the Patriots have been able to do year to year, which I think is overlooked, is that coaching staff's ability to get into the locker room's mind to turn the page and forget that, that year.
Matt, no
has
question.
Any relevance to the following year.
And Bill, I think, goes too far with it. Like, to the point where, I've heard this in the past, I don't know if it still exists, but he, in the Gillette Stadium game presentation, the videos that they show, the music that they play, Bill has a say in all that, and he doesn't allow the Lombardi Trophy to be shown. They never show, maybe on opening night there's something there, obviously before the game, but I think once the game kicks off for the next 16 weeks, they don't show the Lombardi Trophy. I don't think they show highlights from the year before in any of those championship games. Maybe an individual player highlight, but they something along these lines. He doesn't allow the banners up there in the stadium, but that's it. That's it.
See, I like that.
Nothing else is on the board. Nothing else is in the game presentation. Nothing else is mentioned. You mentioned the year before when they win a championship, Bill Belichick will take his pants off and blow gas in your face. He will hock a loogie at you. And I think he takes it too far. I mean, it gets a little goofy, but given the extremes, I mean, I've never seen anything like it. All the Patriots do is really follow through with it, because every coach I've ever heard of after championship says, we have to turn the page. This is a new year. We need to reestablish ourselves. So every coach says it,
How they follow through with it is, you know, different, and Belichick really follows through with it. Alex Cora doesn't even say it. I've never seen a coach say, why should we turn the page? Why should we turn the page? It worked for us last year, which is what Alex Cora has been saying. It's unbelievable.
It goes back to early spring. I hate this mentality.
He said it on day one, and he said it again yesterday. He says, turning the page doesn't make sense for us because we can go to our memory bank. What coach says that?
I have no idea. And honestly, I don't even know what the hell he's talking about. Like, we can go to our memory bank, what? That you won in the past, you can win again? Is he worried about the team not being confident enough?
That they can just be what they were last year, that it's just sort of in their holster.
Yeah, you know how I have felt about this all along. That last year was fantasy camp. That's what it was. That was La La Land. It was great. Don't get me wrong. The ride was fabulous. They got on a roll, and it just all fell into place. And I'm not saying they encountered no adversity, but 108 wins, then you play two 100 team wins in the playoff, you beat them 3-1 and 4-1, and then you face the best team in the National League and you beat them 4-1. It doesn't happen that way. It doesn't. I'm sorry.
And they got duped into thinking that.
Yes, and like all of a sudden they've got all the answers. You know, we just show up, we're that good. And I'm telling you, with this particular group of players, I'm sorry, I can't leave this part out. Mistake. The millennial Red Sox are all too eager to win once, you know, get their championship and then coast. They are way too eager to do that.
Ed and Quincy, your thoughts on the Red Sox?
Hi. Excuse me. Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you today?
Good. What do you got?
Listen, I just want to make a few points here about the start of the season. Maybe the best thing we can all do is not blow this all out of proportion. Maz, I have a question for you. Is this the first time that they've come home from a sub-500 road trip?
No, of course
history?
Not. No, of course
Ed,
not.
Okay.
Ed, it might be the worst road trip they've ever had to start a season based on
remember this. Three of those losses were one-run losses. There could be.
How are the wins?
Could have been three wins, which means they could have come back 6-5.
And they could have come back 0-11.
How about the wins? If it wins for Mitch Moreland, I mean, yesterday was sort of a hard-fought win, a nice win, but it was one home run that was over the fence by about 6 inches.
It was a 1-0 game.
And then a bunch of relievers you weren't expecting anything in shutting him down. And that's not your formula.
No, and I would tell you that I think a 1-0 game for the most part can go either way, especially when you throw in Marcus Walden, Hector Velasquez, Brandon Workman, and I'm not giving them to you in order, obviously. But those 1-0 games can often go one way or the other.
The last defense, according to John Tomasi on NBCSportsBoston.com, welcome, Tomasi. Devious, negative little prick. Love you. Welcome aboard. He says the last defending champions to open worse than 3-8 were the 1998 Marlins. That team that Huizenga dismantled after they won the championship. So, no.
He took them apart. He did. He absolutely stripped that team to the bone.
To the previous caller's question, starts like this are not common for World Series champions. They aren't. They just aren't. It's a reentry Monday. Everything on the table. We can hit on all four teams. Again, we got some Patriots draft stuff coming up. A craft thought of the day, as we like to give you every single day. The Celtics. Any movement, Murray? Again, just reset. No movement? Zero?
Nope.
0.0.
Zero movement.
Did you watch them Friday?
Sure did.
0.0.
Learned more about the Pacers than I did the Celtics that night.
Okay, so that, the Bruins, all on the board. A couple open lines if you want to grab them at 617-779-0985. No commercials here.
Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at Awaken180weightloss.com.